The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Once you're saved, how are faith and works related? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, and welcome to the Monday edition of Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. So we're currently taking questions from listeners just like you. Why don't you send us your own questions if you've got any? You can send those to Bob and Sean by zapping us an email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
How did you?
Well, I was stretching yours out because you went Sean Lazar.
You know, I never got really had a nickname. I guess maybe I had some nicknames, but how did you get Bob? Were you Bob early on?
No,
or was it Robert?
My dad's dad was Robert. And so my dad went by Bob. And so when I was a child, I was Robert, and then my nephew was also Robert, and he's only 5 years younger than I am, so he became Baby Robert, okay. And I was Robert. Then when I went to college, I decided to switch over to Bob.
I never really had nicknames growing up, because Sean is just a one-syllable word, you know, so there's no way to shorten it, except for my sister. My sister calls me Shawnee Pooh.
Shawnee Pooh.
No one else is allowed to call me
I'm
that.
I'm not calling you Shawnee
You're not allowed to do that.
No, that but would my, not be good.
My dear sister is allowed to call me that. She's the only person. Okay, here's a question from Noah. Noah asks, obviously, in regards to salvation, faith and works are totally distinct. However, as believers, we're told to walk and to live by faith. I'm trying to see how that doesn't conflate faith and works. Could it be said that it takes works, i.e. effort, to walk by faith? Suppose if I didn't, it wouldn't be automatic, right? Please help me distinguish the concepts. So does it take work to live by faith?
Okay, I like Noah's question, but I was thinking he was going completely the opposite, and then right at the end it was like a football quarterback that hands the ball to the running back going the other way on a reverse. I thought what he was going to say, it takes faith to produce good works.
Okay, but he reverses it.
It takes works to live by faith. But no, we must live by faith in order to produce good works. Paul says, what is it, Galatians chapter 5, around verse 4, you can maybe look it up there. He talks about faith working through love. Maybe it's 5:6, Galatians 5.
Yeah, 5:6. Yes, for in Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love.
So it's faith that is working. And it's working through the means of love because, of course, love is the greatest commandment. We're to love the Lord God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. But that flows from faith. It doesn't flow from works.
Yeah, right. And I think it flows from faith because thinking precedes action. If thinking didn't precede action, that's what you call like a reflex. It's like my heart beats, not because I have to think about it. It just does it automatically. But actions are conscious decisions that you make, right?
That's exactly
and
right.
And so you're always going to make decisions based on some beliefs.
Right. Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind.
Right.
Because your thinking
yes.
is what controls your behavior.
Yeah. Or it precedes your doing. So to live by faith, first you need the faith, and then you need to choose to act on your faith.
Right. Now, when we talk about the faith, we don't mean simply, I believe in Jesus for the free gift of everlasting life. Living by faith is a person who, of course, knows they have everlasting life by faith in Jesus, but now they're living consistent with that, and that includes the whole body of faith,
right.
All that the Scriptures teach.
Right.
So that's why it's possible for a person to grow in the faith because they learn more about a proper biblical mindset.
Right. You learn more about what God requires you to do or what is good. You know,
right.
I'm teaching my kids all the time about, you know, what is good? What is the good thing to do? And that often just looks like Jesus. But then your knowing and your behavior, there can be a disconnect there. You can know what the right thing to do is and yet choose not to do it.
And by the way, you want to see that principle in action? Get married.
Absolutely.
Right? Because it's so frustrating. There are times when I act in a way that I do not want to act, and I'm displeasing myself and the Lord and Sharon, and I'm like, Lord, forgive me. Sharon, forgive me. What happened there?
Right.
I kind of lost it. I had some kind of experience where I was not living reasonably, rationally, because somehow something kicked in,
yep.
and I said the wrong thing, did the wrong thing.
Right.
I think all of us who have been married for any length of time, and Sharon and I, it's 45 years, we've experienced that. You know, Sharon and I will go to each other and say, hey, I'm so sorry. And she's like, I'm so sorry. I'm right. so sorry. No, right. we're both sorry. Let's just let it go. Let's move on.
Right, right. So you had to choose. Sometimes you have to just, in marriage, at least in my experience, I have to just grit my teeth and choose to go back and apologize
right.
for whatever I did. But it's a struggle. I mean, I'll be literally in the hallway making fists, gritting my teeth, and so you have to go back there and apologize. I have to turn my body around and take the steps towards her.
But it's purifying.
It feels good. But it doesn't happen automatically the way Noah wonders, could this happen automatically?
No.
Me apologizing to my wife has never happened automatically.
No,
it's... You have to choose to put the faith into practice.
Right. And that's the point. When you believe that it's best for your marriage if you go and you apologize... Well, believing that and doing it aren't the same thing. Believing it can lead you to walk back there and apologize.
Right.
But the actual doing of it flows from the faith. And so sure. it's not that we need the works to have the faith. We right. need the faith to have the works.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, sometimes walking by faith also means you're walking in light of what God has promised, even though you don't see the fulfillment of the promise yet.
That's the whole point of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. They had all these promises, the promise of the land, right? The promise of the people.
Right.
And they didn't see those things in their lifetimes.
Right, right. And the same thing, you know, nowadays, people might be tempted to get, let's say you're a Christian actor or a Christian actress, for example.
Right.
Okay? And you're offered a big part, lots of money, for a really immoral role in an immoral movie, and
right.
you're asked to do immoral things. If you're walking by faith, you're going to give up that big earthly payoff because you know the real reward is going to be in eternity for being faithful to Christ.
That's right.
And so you're going to choose to forego the earthly riches for heavenly riches. But that's, again, that's a choice. And you, if you'd make that choice, you're living in light of these promises, in light of, you're walking by faith,
right.
I think. That would be an example. That's not automatic. You got to choose to do that, you know?
That's right.
And also, let me think about this question a little bit more. Do you think that when you're living life in obedience to God, it becomes easier to obey when it's like a pattern of obedience in your life? Does it reinforce your faith?
I have seen that in my experience over the years. But it doesn't mean that I still don't have struggles in some areas because I deal with perfectionism from the alcoholic family I grew up in and control issues. And so I've had to learn over the years to let go. I don't have to be in charge of everything. I've had to let go of some of my perfectionism. And in some ways, those are lifelong struggles.
Right.
Because it doesn't just go away because I've been a believer for 20, 30, 40 years. One of my favorite passages is 1 Corinthians 2:14 to 3:3.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Paul talks about three kinds of people: the spiritual person, the carnal person, and the natural man.
Yeah.
And the natural man is the person who doesn't have the Spirit of God, who's not born again.
Mm-hmm.
The carnal person is a believer. He calls them a babe in Christ in 3:1, a baby Christian.
Yeah.
But they may have been Christians for more than a year or two. In the case of the Corinthians, they'd been believers about 5 years, and yet he says in verse 3, still you are carnal, still you are fleshly in your mindset. But the third is the spiritual believer, and Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, we, meaning spiritual believers, have the mind of Christ.
Mm.
That's the key,
yeah.
to see life the way Jesus wants us to see life. And yeah. if we do... Well, then we can live by that.
Yeah.
But it's having the mind of Christ which is necessary to produce the good works.
What about this? I'm thinking about someone I really admire is George Mueller. And people mm-hmm. might know George Mueller as he was a Plymouth Brethren guy. And he wanted to show the world that God exists and God is real. And he chose a really unusual way to do that. He didn't come up with a new philosophical argument for God's existence. What he decided to do was to start some orphanages. So this is 19th century England. All these kids were running around London and other cities, Manchester and whatnot.
And talk about a faith ministry.
And so
he was extreme in the way he dealt with some of these things.
And so this is how an orphanage would prove the existence of God. He said, God answers prayer. So every single need he had, he would go to God in secret. He wouldn't publicize the need. And he would pray for God to fulfill this need. So let's say he needed bread for lunch because he didn't have any bread to feed these hundreds of orphans. He'd pray for the bread. And he kept all these answered prayers recorded in these journals. And he published the journals every year, I think, just to show we prayed for this. And a few hours later, someone came with exactly what we need. Someone came and dropped off 10 loaves of bread. Someone came and dropped off 20 gallons of milk or whatever it is. And I just wonder, for someone like George Mueller, when you put your faith into action and you see God's faithfulness over and over and over, faithfulness to his promises over and over and over again, that has to reinforce your faith.
Sure.
Right, don't you think?
Sure,
so it's like,
absolutely.
So like you're putting your faith into practice, and that in turn is reinforcing your faith.
I agree, like Romans 12:2, if we see our life transformed over the course of 10, 20, 30 years, then we can say, praise God, God has been at work. It doesn't mean that I have somehow changed my own life.
Right.
It means God has done it through his word by transforming my mind or renewing my mind so that now I have the mind of Christ. And that has a practical difference in my daily living. So I love Noah's question.
Right. In fact, you have a memoir coming out soon where the point of the memoir is almost this, right? You see, looking back and seeing God's hand in your life.
I'm thinking of calling it His Hidden Hand.
Yeah.
And how, as I look back on my life, I can see so many ways in which God was at work. And at the time, I couldn't see it. But later on, I can look back and see, wow, that was the hand of God.
Well, we're excited to read that. And thanks for the question, Noah. It's a good thought-provoking question. And if you have questions for us, send them to radio@faithalone.org and make them short, make them sweet, so that we'll be able to get to them. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about when a believer should be baptized. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.